Do you want to tell my listeners a little bit about the botanist Hilda Eileen Ramsay?
Yes, sure. Well, known really as Eileen Ramsay, mostly. She was born in the 1880s and died in 1961. So the work that she did as a botanist was in the Mallee, which is in the northwest of Victoria. And she was sort of a late starter, which is quite encouraging for some of us. She didn't get started till she was in her 60s, but over a period of about 10 years, she amassed a considerably large collection of plant specimens, and she took this project incredibly seriously. So she corresponded at length with Jim Willis at the herbarium, that's the National Herbarium of Victoria at the Royal Botanic Gardens. And this endeavour was both scientific and I think, how could I say it? She was passionate. That's the word. She was passionate about this work, and that sort of really comes through when you look at her collection notes. They're very expressive and enthusiastic, and sometimes full of little snatches of poetry or observations that are much, beyond what the ordinary scientific requirements might be.
I was really taken by this story because she's talking about something that is a European perception blending into an environment that is barely understood by a European consciousness, isn't she?
Well, there's a great tradition of botany, which really only became a science, I think, in about the 19th or 18th or 19th century. That was kind of a new thing. And, we're looking at people like Joseph Banks, who was, one of the first Europeans to come to Australia. And of course, William Dampier, really the first to ever collect a specimen here. So they were the Europeans that came to Australia to collect native flora. Were bringing that tradition with them. And as you say, walking onto a landscape that no Europeans had ever visited. So there here was this, vast, to their eyes, vast, unclassified, museum. And I think that awareness of the landscape and its history, they didn't have that. But it's very clear in Eileen's writing that she has an incredibly wonderful sensibility around the history of the landscape and its inhabitants. And you really feel this deep sense of history just by being up there. It's magic. Something happens to you when you walk into the Mallee. You think, here's this dry, harsh-looking landscape, and yet it sort of welcomes you into it. You feel connected to the earth. And I was out with some of my old botanical friends fairly recently. One of them, Sharon, she'd be in her 80s, and she just took her shoes off and she just walked in the sand, this marvelous red sand of the Mallee. And her friends just needed to feel, she just said, someone commented, and she just said, "Yeah, I just need to feel it under me, under my feet, the land." And I think it's a very intimate connection that people can have, and Eileen Ramsay certainly had that feeling for that landscape herself.
In fact, I was reading some notes about her. It has a quote from her writings. "I wish life was long enough to deal with all its aspects, so much of its almost prehistoric growths and formations are disappearing ever more rapidly." Like she had this sense of the encroachment of farming onto a landscape that was probably not built for it.
Oh, you're so right about that, Annie. I mean, she was, an early conservationist, and she part of her mission in making this record was in response to the rapid development of that region. And we're talking about a semi-arid desert being turned into agricultural land. And, you know, it, in the earlier part of the 20th century, when returned soldiers were sent up there to start what they called the soldier settlement, these guys were trying to make, you know, this desert landscape into arable land. And, you know, they fought the battle and a lot of them lost.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it was this, that people land hungry with a sense of a need for place, but with a European perspective, I'd say.
Yeah, all the farming practices, you know, there wasn't a deep understanding of how to work with the land. And a lot of land was rendered useless once it had been cleared and that there'd been fires and dust storms. You know, I mean, it's very unforgiving.
I do know what you're talking about. I mean, I've read some early histories of the European move across the Mallee, and am quite amazed at how much cover there was. There was Mallee scrub right across, but it's been meticulously unpicked and removed.
Well, all you have to do is fly over it to see, as an illustration of what you're having talking about. You look down from the air. You know, you go up in a small aircraft, which I have sometimes done to get up to Mildura. It's a patchwork, you know, quilt of land holdings. And you see that the original landscape has been reduced to reserves that are, you know, along the Murray, and then some, you know, some larger patches of national park. And this, actually, this is a great moment to tell you that Eileen and her cohort of naturalists were so passionate about preserving their landscape that they were the ones that petitioned the government to create the Hatter Lakes National Park. And I found the very first note where Les Chandler, who was also a veteran of the First World War, he was the person at their very, one of their early meetings of the Sunraysia Field Naturalist Club in around 1949. He moved that the Hatter Lakes area be made into a national park. And there it was in, you know, beautiful cursive ink writing, this idea. And that became a reality some years later. And right above the Hatter Lakes National Park, there is a very interesting property, which is a private property where the owners, Fiona and Phil Murdoch, are committed conservationists, and they are revegetating that landscape, which has been destroyed by agricultural practices. And they are diligently restoring that landscape. And it's so inspiring to see what they have done. It really is. It's just marvellous. And actually, Fiona has written the introduction to the catalogue for my exhibition. And a lot of their work refers back then to the Eileen Ramsey collection, because that's where all the information lies. It's a very important collection.
Oh, look, this is such a fantastic story. I mean, I was going to then talk about how she worked in with the Melbourne University campus that was opened in Mildura, because a formal education was, she was excluded really from formal education in this area, but she was persistent.
Absolutely, she was. And actually, Fiona makes a marvellous point about that, because she was denied a place in the university to study botany. And I'll just read you this little bit from Fiona's speech. Six decades on, it was Eileen's specimens, now housed in the National Herbarium of Victoria, that were drawn on by elite botanists to verify the identity of the plant that was just recently found, the little bearded flat sedge, which this was in the news a few weeks back. Fiona says here, I think she would have been chuffed and probably pretty smug about this, so good on her.
Let's talk about your exhibition and what you do.
Yes, sure. I would like that. I feel that I have been enormously indebted to the people who have made Eileen's collection available. And the first person who did that was Heather Lee in at the Mildura Art Centre, where Eileen's collection was before it was sent to the herbarium for remounting and to be absorbed into that collection. It was there that I first saw it, and that's where my project started. I was so inspired by what I saw. Very tattered old manila folders tied up with pink ribbon, and holding all these dried up specimens. And it was with some locals in Mildura, more plant people, that I went out into the landscape with them. This was with Marion and Peter Lang from the Native Plant Society. And they showed me along the river. We went sort of tracing through Eileen's collection to see where she'd found plants. And then so I started to look for them with their help. And ever since, they've been taking me out, because now I'm absolutely hooked on this place. So I would collect plants. You're not allowed to take them out of the national parks, but they would supply me from their gardens, or we would see them and, you know, photograph them and so on. And I could then I made a series of cyanotypes as my starting point, which is a really lovely old-fashioned process. Sun prints, they're called, where you get a kind of ghost image and your paper turns a marvellous deep blue when you do that. And that sort of reminded me very much of the deep blue of the Mildura sky. And so that was my first foray into using Eileen's work as inspiration. And it's evolved over the last, well, nearly a decade. So the works that are in this current forthcoming exhibition are a kind of distillation of the experience of being out there, and perhaps an echo of Eileen's experience of the landscape too, at the kind of intimacy that you have with it. I would use the specimens to draw from at home. I had my plant friends would send them down to me in boxes, carefully wrapped and, you know, beautifully labelled and everything. And I could draw from these plants in my studio in Melbourne. And the drawings I did with pastels, and there's just something about the softness and the dryness of using pastel on paper that seemed to really evoke something of that Mallee landscape to me. And that's from those drawings I developed the prints that are the series that I've titled her story, Hilda Eileen Ramsey being her initials. And they are the works that are on at the Print Council of Australia, New Gallery in Sturt Street in South Bank.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's not quite open yet, is it?
No, it opens on the 31st of October and goes to the 17th of November. So we'll be hanging the exhibition this coming week.
Oh, how very exciting. It's very exciting, I think. What are you hoping for the people who go and have a look? I mean, people can go and look at art, and people think of art as being a product, but it's more than that, isn't it?
Well, I really hope so. I mean, art is really meant to give something that makes people experience something new. And in a way, I would like to say, come and see how fantastic Eileen Ramsey was, but also come and see what grows in this landscape, to be inspired by it, to make their own investigations into the natural world, because it's not just the Mallee where all these treasures are. They're all around us. And I think, you know, perhaps since COVID, people have found a much more intimate connection with nature. You know, people are watching their birds and voting for favourite birds. I mean, and I think the awareness of conservation and the need for it is really vivid now. And I think the best way to educate people about what we need to look after is to bring them in and just see how wonderful it all is. You've got to love it to want to look after it.
Oh, yeah, you do. There's a really nice quote from the National Gallery about your work. It says, "Forging links between botany, art and science, Christine's exploration of historical narratives and native fauna raise pertinent questions about our relationship with the environment, place, and belonging. I just thought that was such a fabulous tribute to your work.
That's lovely of you to say that, Annie. When I read it, I also thought, that's exactly what I mean. I've never really been able to find the right phrases, but that really is it. And so I very gently want to point people towards this precious land that we live in and say, look what we've got, look at these treasures. We've really got to look after them. And in doing that, I'm also echoing Eileen Ramsay. So I'm so indebted to her as the source of inspiration. But then the next step is go out and feel it and fall in love with it and look after it.
Thanks for talking to me today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much, Annie. I've enjoyed speaking with you.